Can we just celebrate what God has been doing already this morning? Hallelujah. Yes, He is so good. So good to move from the scattered community to the gathered community, and we're thankful that you have chosen to be with us here at New Life, and welcome to those joining us online as well. We're glad we can't see your pajamas, but we're glad that you're with us, and just so thankful we could gather as the people of God. You know, that kind of at the end of that, our time of worship, just a few moments ago, we sang that song. I want you to sing it with me this morning, just the chorus of it. This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. You know, last week we had the privilege of celebrating and celebrating children who are dedicated and beginning to live that particular story. But we're a multi-generational church, and so we want to celebrate and honor parents and their commitment to raise their children to know and to love God, but we also want to remember those who finished that story well. And so today, we want you to remember those that have recently passed on and finished that story well, and this morning, they are worshiping and praising in the presence of our Heavenly Father. So would you check out this video as we remember the names and lives of those who have passed away recently. One of those names represents the life well lived for Christ. And I want you, as we go to the Lord in prayer and lift up those families specifically who have lost loved ones and are still grieving and still trying to navigate what this new normal looks like. And I would encourage you, as their church family, as you encounter those family members, that you would just kind of take a moment and stop by and ask them how they're doing, or maybe give them a phone call, or any number of ways that you can just encourage them during this season of trying to figure out what this new normal will look like. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, and God, we thank you for those lives that were represented on the screen. We thank you, God, for their passion for you. We thank you, God, for the many lives that they were able to touch because they surrendered to you and because they chose to allow you to work in and through them, God. And so, God, I pray and I am thankful right now, God, that we have hope. We have hope because they are celebrating with you and they have seen you face to face, and their story in this world is complete, but their story in terms of encountering you is just kind of beginning because they're seeing the fullness of who you are. And so, God, we lift them to you. We also lift up the families, God, that they have left behind. God, we know how deeply grief can affect us. God, I know that there's great stories that are being told in those families and ways of remembering each one of those individuals, God, but it doesn't make the grief any less. And so, God, I pray that you would bring your peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding, And she would wrap your arms of comfort around them. And that, God, that they would know that you are near as they discover what their new normal is going to look like. We ask all these things in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, we've been in this series the last couple of weeks called Fully Alive, and basically we're wrapping our arms around what it means to be kind of a new life. And we believe that one of the things that God has prompted us in is that we are not only called to live fully alive, but we are called to help others live fully alive. And so we are passionately committed to that very end. We are passionately committed to living fully alive, not just in any old way, but specifically living fully alive in Jesus. And so in week one of this series, we talked about an overview of what that was going to look like. And there's really three distinct ways that we've been unpacking, beginning with last week. And last week, we talked about what it means to be loved by Jesus. And that when you're loved by Jesus, we wanted you to know that that is everyone and everywhere. And so no matter who you are, guess what? You were created in the image of God. And no matter where you've gone, you have never wandered too far from the love of God. And so we wanted to declare that because we believe as people become fully alive, that is foundational for them living fully alive in Jesus. And this week, we're gonna be talking about what it means to be shaped by Jesus. And then next week, what it means to go and do what Jesus did. And so in order to kind of think through this idea of being shaped by Jesus, again, I wanna give you a little bit of a framework for wrapping your arms around it. And this is what I want you to think about. You are shaped in the image of Jesus from the inside out. You are shaped into the image of Jesus from the inside out. And for many of us, that's our heart's desire. That's kind of like what we want to see happen. But when it comes to being shaped by Jesus, whether it's kind of a verbal declaration or whether it's an internal struggle, I don't know about you, maybe it's just me, but when I began following Jesus, the question that was always on my mind is, how do I actually do that? Like, what does it look like to actually be shaped by Jesus? How do I become fully alive in him? How do I continue to embrace this? You know, people will talk about, hey, you need to have a relationship with Jesus. And you're going, but he's not physically here with me. How do I actually have a relationship with Jesus? And what happens, and again, maybe my story is a little bit different than yours, but for me personally, when it came to this idea of transformation, because I didn't know how to be with Jesus, because I didn't know how to be shaped by Jesus, all of a sudden I wasn't being transformed into the image of Jesus the way that I thought I should be. And I was wrestling with this sin, I was wrestling with my brokenness, and I was wrestling with the things of this world. And I started to think this, and maybe you've thought this also, maybe I can't be a Christian. Like, maybe this Jesus following stuff is for other people, but for me, I don't know how to kind of do this, and I don't see the transformation happening, and so I'm not quite sure what it looks like to actually be shaped by him. Or maybe even worse, maybe somebody came along and told you this. You know what? If you had enough faith, then you would be shaped by Jesus. If you just had a little bit more faith, if you just kind of tried a little bit harder, if you maybe just kind of pressed into Jesus a little bit more. And again, the reality is that we struggle through this because we're not quite sure how to be shaped by Jesus. And what we end up doing is we actually create our own plan, right? That seems kind of logical. We create our own plan. We start going, okay, so I want to be shaped by Jesus. So maybe if I just knew a little bit more, and we open up God's word and we start reading his word, and it's a little bit confusing. We're not quite sure how to read it. We're not quite sure always how to understand it. And then we'd say, hey, there's this little habit that I have that I want to get rid of. So I'm going to wear like a rubber band. I'm going to snap my wrist every time that I think about that habit or do that habit to remind myself. And we come up with our own plan, and we're going to memorize some Bible verses, and we're going to have some of those deterrents, and we're going to be kinder. And maybe for like a morning where we had our coffee and a good breakfast, we're kinder. But by lunch, we're not so kind. And we get frustrated by that. And we're not quite sure how to do it. And then I'm going to stop doing. And we stop doing something for about a week. And only about a week, because the Monday comes around again. And we start doing what we said we weren't going to do. And we're so frustrated because we're like, how do I be shaped by Jesus? And there's a fascinating observation that I've had when it comes to being shaped by Jesus, and it's simply this. We want to be shaped by Jesus without being shaped how Jesus wants to shape us. Let me say that again. We want to be shaped by Jesus. Most people, if you're gathered here today, you're saying, man, I want to be shaped by Jesus. I mean, who else would get up and come to a 9 o'clock service in the morning if you weren't trying to figure out how can I be shaped by Jesus? But we want to be shaped by Jesus without necessarily being shaped how Jesus wants to shape us. And when we think about that for a moment, and if you kind of processed it, if you want to live less than fully alive, then do things that less than fully alive people do, right? Like if you were like, hey, my aim is to live less than fully alive. Like fully alive, that sounds really cool. Maybe it's for other people. But for me, I want to live less than fully alive. So I'm going to do what less than fully alive people do. And that's actually what we tend to do. We say we want to be shaped by Jesus, but we actually do what less than fully alive people do. And then we think we're the exception. Oh, I know what Jesus says. And I know what it looks like to be shaped by him, but I was like the top 10% of my class in high school, man. I'm like, I'm a little bit cut above everybody else, so I can kind of make my own plan. It's a little bit like when people come into my office and they're maybe kind of going through a rough patch in their marriage and they come in and they're saying, oh, Pastor, you know, we're just having a really tough time. And again, that's not to minimize. You have tough times in marriage and you have these rough patches that you have. And then I start asking them about kind of what's happening. And I come to this conclusion quite often. And I basically say this, what were the things that you were doing when things were going well? And they'd start to name off the various things that they were doing when things were going well. And I kind of would call them out and say, you realize you're not doing any of those right now. And I said, what if the solution to your challenge is to go back and start doing the things that you were doing when things were good? Like, really? Never thought about that. Sometimes we make it so much harder than it really is. And so if we want to be fully alive, we have to allow Jesus to shape our lives how he wants to shape them. And so I want to walk us through several passages, and you can utilize your Bibles or your phone or whatever to follow along, but it might be easier this morning to follow along on the screens because we're going to be looking at several different passages. And we're going to begin in John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. John chapter 1, verses 35 through 39. And as we're kind of walking our way through this, again, John is in the New Testament or the second half of the Bible, but I believe that in this particular passage, there's something that Jesus wants us to understand about who he is. And it's something that you want and see. In this passage, this is kind of the framework I want you to use. Something you want and something that you can see. John chapter 1, starting at verse 35, says this. The following day, John was standing with two of his disciples. As Jesus walked by, John looked at him and declared, "Look, there is the Lamb of God." And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus. Now, I don't know about you. If you've been doing the Enneagram, I'm a 3. I'm like, want to be successful. If I had two people like following me, and I said, "Hey, look, that person, they're the Lamb of God," and they got up and they left me and followed them, I would feel a little bit defeated. Right? I would feel like, hold on a second. Like I know that John knew that Jesus was who they were supposed to be following, but there's part of me that I read this, I'm like, man, they didn't even think twice. They just got up and started following Jesus. And so you gotta give these guys some credit, you know? You gotta know who you're following. If you're gonna be shaped by somebody, you better know who you're gonna be shaped by. And so for these individuals, they're saying, "Hey, John, you're really cool, but man, this is the Lamb of God. You know, you were just kind of the forerunner here. I'm gonna go over and I'm gonna start following this guy because this guy is going to shape me further into who God has called me to be." And so maybe that's something to write down. Who are you following? Who is it that's shaping you? Who is it that's, or what sometimes? What ideology, what thing is shaping you? And when John's two disciples heard this, they followed Jesus, and Jesus looked around and saw them following, and he says these words, "What do you want?" He asked them, "What do you want? Not what do you know, not what have you done, not what will you do, what do you want?" Your actions almost inevitably follow your desires. And so when it comes to Jesus asking this particular question, what do you want? What he's saying is, hey, what are your desires? What are your longings? What are your loves? And the challenge for us, and some of you have heard me talk about this before, the challenge that we have is what you want to want isn't always what you want. Because what you say you want isn't always what you really want. And so these disciples that are following Jesus is asking them, what is it that you actually want? You say you want to follow me. You say you left John and now you're following me, but what is it that you want? And I think for many of us, and again, I'll speak for my own journey a little bit, that when it comes to being shaped by Jesus, what we want is to be shaped by Jesus. But kind of where we find ourselves is living between two spectrums. On that one end of the spectrum is, Jesus, I want you to shape me, but not too much. Like, I want you to shape me, but hold on a second. Let's have some dialogue. Let's have some negotiations about what it looks like to actually be shaped by you. And that's on one end of the spectrum. And then on the other end of the spectrum are people who say, no, this is what it means to be shaped by Jesus. Less of me, more of Jesus. Less of me, more of Jesus. And so you have these two ends of the spectrum. Jesus, I want you to shape me, but not too much. And on the other end of the spectrum, less of me and more of Jesus. And I'll be honest, and I think that most of us live in the middle of those worlds. Like, if we were really honest with ourselves, there's part of us sometimes, they're like, Jesus, I want to be shaped by you, but not too much. And there's other times where we're like, oh, but Jesus, I want less of me, more of you. And so what you want to want isn't always what you want, and we wrestle with these in-between areas. And if you're taking notes this morning, I want you to kind of think about something, and we're going to do some of this tonight in Crash Course as well, but I want you to begin thinking about something. I want you to take inventory of your distractions and your wants. Like, you say that you want to be shaped by Jesus, but what you want to want isn't always what you want. So what are the things that you actually want? And you can take inventory of that. What are the things that are distracting you from being shaped further into the image of Jesus? What are the things that are distracting you from being shaped from the inside out? What are the things that you actually want? Like, if you got alone and you took a breath and you cleared away the cobwebs and the white noise and everything else, and you begin to say, this is where my aim is. What is it that you actually want? And then in the second half of that portion that we were reading, it says this. They replied, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? He says, come and see, he said. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him to the place where he was staying, and they remained with him the rest of the day. Now, if we're not reading this carefully, we can kind of miss a really important kind of response there, which is Jesus saying, come and see. It wasn't this thing like, hey, let's get back together and have a Bible study and you can figure out if what you want is what I'm offering, what you want is what I'm doing, what you want is what I've come to offer you. No. Jesus says, if you really want to experience what's going on, I want you to come and see. I learned something fascinating about this idea of coming and seeing. I don't know how many college students we have here in this particular service. I know we have some that attend our 11 o'clock. Do you know that 80% of college students change their majors? That's insane to me. But do you know why? Because they come and see. They get into that first class and they're like, I'm gonna be a doctor. Then they have that first chem class and they're going, I don't want to be a doctor. Because when you come and see, you begin to understand what the full depth and breadth of what you're being called to looks like. Come and see. It's an opportunity to come and experience. It's an opportunity to test and encounter. It's an opportunity to come and experience and to know Jesus and for him to know you. Come and see, come and learn, come and experience, come and practice what it means to follow me. And so Jesus's invitation to these disciples is the same one that it is to us, which is come and see, come and experience my life, come and experience who I am, come and participate in my lifestyle, come and be a part of what I am doing. But what happens is that most of us kind of stop at the doorstep or kind of say, he says, come and see, and we're like, okay, I'm gonna come and listen. I'm gonna come and just know or learn about you. But again, that's not Jesus's calling. His calling is to come and see, to come and experience, to come and give ourselves to what he is doing and what he is about. And it's in that that all of a sudden we begin to be shaped by Jesus. And so two things that we have to wrestle with when it comes to being shaped from the inside out is, what do I want? And am I willing to come and see? The second thing that I think is important is something that happens in you. Not only an invitation to come and see, but something that the Spirit does within us. And in John chapter 14, we read these words. If you love me, obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now. And later, he will be in you. They had Jesus to shape them. I mean, like, again, pretty cool, right? Jesus is right there. Hey guys, what do you want? Having a conversation with them. Hey guys, come and see, an invitation. And Jesus began to show them in the flesh what he wanted them to see. But we have something actually, if you really kind of put it on level with one another, we have something even greater than what they had. They saw him in the flesh, but we have him living inside of us. Do you know that the Holy Spirit, when you receive Christ as Lord and Savior, that the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in your life? In that particular passage, when he says this in verse 16, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. In the original Greek language, that phrase of another advocate can also be translated like this: I will give you another one of me. Think how cool that is. I'm gonna have to leave you guys. But when the Spirit comes, he will be another one of me, and that other one of me will take up residency in your life. And so the way we are with Jesus today is via the Holy Spirit. And so some people again are going, hey, how do I be shaped by Jesus? It's not by hoping that, oh man, I wish he was just physically here with me right next to me and then I could be shaped by him. No, when you are shaped by Jesus in the here and now, it's by the Holy Spirit who takes up residency in your life. You don't have to go far. You don't have to go searching for him. God's not playing hide and seek with you or hard to get. He is in you. Your Heavenly Father is in you. But here's something we battle. We get into the habit of believing the devil is in everything, right? But we somehow forget that the living God is in us. And so when we're trying to be shaped by Jesus, we're wrestling, and all of a sudden, man, the reason I can't be shaped by Jesus is because the devil's always out to get me. And we start coming up with all kinds of excuses about why we can't be shaped by Jesus, because our life's not going right, the devil's trying to get me, and all this kind of stuff. And we start blaming everything on the devil. And you know, people are like, hey, you know what? We don't have air conditioning, and we have air conditioning in our cars, right? It's been hot lately. And all of a sudden, your AC breaks in your car. Like, man, I knew it. The devil's out to get me. No, your air conditioning just broke. Now, there is spiritual battle going on, so don't get me wrong. There is spiritual battling going on, but here's what I want to remind you. that the devil or the enemy trying to attack you from being shaped by Jesus pales in comparison to the God who lives within you, and his desire is to shape you further into his image. And so the question becomes, who are we going to trust? And then there's this Old Testament passage in the book of Proverbs that says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all thy ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. The Holy Spirit leads you in all truth. He's not looking for you to lean on your understanding. Your understanding, my understanding, is how we usually get ourselves in trouble. Your understanding, my understanding, is how we usually end up wandering. He's saying, would you be willing to trust in my understanding? And the God of the universe and the Spirit of Jesus that has been placed inside of you. Less than fully alive people, you know what they do? They trust in their own understanding. In fact, have you ever heard this? You know, maybe I'm the only one that again struggles with this type of thing sometimes. But man, when someone tells me to do something and I don't want to do it, I kind of dig my heels in a little bit, and I start to get this attitude like, dude, I'm a grown man. You can't tell me what to do, right? And I even see it, like, we go back to that time when we were, like, even talking to our parents and they wanted us to do something. We're like, man, I'm 18 years old. I'm an adult now. I can do my thing. I'll tell you what I'm gonna do. And we dig in our heels. We lean on our own understanding. But fully alive people trust in the Lord by faith, even when they don't fully understand. In fact, from cover to cover throughout the scriptures is story after story of people who trust in the Lord and walk by faith and believe in his understanding over and above theirs. And if you've met people who are being shaped by Jesus from 7 to 107, they learn what it looks like to trust in the Lord, and not just trust in the Lord for a certain aspect of their life, but they trust in the Lord when it comes to their marriage, and they trust in the Lord when it comes to their job, and they trust in the Lord when it comes to the mountaintop experiences, and they trust in the Lord when it comes to the valley, and they trust in the Lord at every kind of bent or stage of their life. They trust in the Lord. And again, we don't like this language and it kind of rubs us the wrong way. And so I want to give us a little bit of perspective. When they trust in the Lord, they are submitting to his ways. And we don't like, I mean, like some of you, when I say the word submission, you break out in cold sweat because you're like, I don't like to do that. But let me give you a little bit different framework for understanding submission. Submitting to a mission. When you submit to the Spirit that's alive in you, you're submitting to the mission of becoming fully alive. You're saying, I want to submit to the mission that the Spirit has for my life. And that is the way we become fully alive. And then in John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, I say, okay, so I'm going to submit, but then what? Something that you and Jesus do together. You remain. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 8 says this: I am the grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. You might need, if you're like me and you're someone that struggles with submission, you might need to underline that line right there. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. And such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. And so again, as we kind of begin to walk through this passage, you realize that when you don't remain, guess what happens? You die. You're like, man, that sounds harsh. Well, you got to think about this for a second. When it comes to our relationship with God, it's not just like, hey, if you want to remain in me. No. God is saying, I am the source of life and I've placed my spirit in you. And if you want to be connected to the source of life, then remain in me. And if you remain in me, I will remain in you. Nothing else will produce that type of life. Not sports, not entertainment. Not success, not relationship, not pleasure, not wealth. I mean, think about those things. If I remain in sports, sports will remain in me. Yeah, we chuckle and yet we live as if it does, or we live as if wealth does, or pleasure, or any number of those things. And the remaining is what produces fruit. Elena and I were talking this last week, and we were talking about her son Kingston, and Kingston had these strawberry plants outside, and he's going over them in the morning, and he's taking water, and he's pouring the water not on the plant, just on the fruit. Elena had to explain to him, hey, Kingston, no, you need to pour water on the roots and the leaves, and then that is what produces the fruit. But again, sometimes what we do is the same exact thing. We're like, I want the fruit, but I don't really want to water the plant. You can't be, I hate to break to you, you can't be more loving. You can't be kind. You might be able to discipline yourself for a week or a couple of days or even a month, or, you know, but you can't be more loving. You can't be more kind. You can't be more joyful. You can't have more peace. You can't do any of those things. It's about greater connection to the Lord. It's about greater submission to the Spirit. When we walk in the Spirit, when we live in the Spirit, when we abide in the Spirit, those fruits are birthed within us. And so how do we remain? Some of you are getting your pencils out. Okay, how do I do this? I struggle with this. Live like Jesus. Oh, yeah. I've heard that one before, David. He was God. You're right. Jesus was fully God. And so when you want an image of who the Heavenly Father looks like, you get to look at Jesus and say, that's what God looks like. But the opposite is true also. If you want an image of what a fully alive human looks like, you look at Jesus and go, oh, that is what a fully alive human looks like. And so what I would encourage you to do is to stop focusing on his perfection as if, you know, hey, I can't attain that. And start focusing in on his lifestyle. What were the things that were a part of Jesus' lifestyle that allowed him to remain connected with the Father? How did Jesus live? Well, he prayed. He had conversations with his Father. He slept. You know why some of you have struggled to remain? It's because you're so exhausted, you can't even think about remaining. We are the most hurried society. We have the most hurried schedules. Everything is on top of everything for us. We've forgotten to have Sabbath and rest. Very seldom do we ever have solitude. In fact, for some of you, and I know some of you moms are like this, for some of us, the only time we have solitude is when we're in the bathroom. Jesus hung out with people, broke bread with people. He gathered in the synagogue regularly. He lived simply. unhurried. And he didn't have to be connected to things digitally all the time. And so where we struggle is we want the fruit of Jesus, but we don't want the lifestyle of Jesus. We want the overnight upgrade. Isn't that nice? If you got an iPhone, you know, I'm assuming all phones kind of work somewhat similar. It gives me a little bit note as I'm kind of like signing off for the night and I put it on the charger. All of a sudden, it tells me, I'm going to upload a new operating system tonight. I'm like, that's so nice. And when you wake up in the morning, there's all these cool new features. And so that's how we operate with Jesus sometimes. We're like, all right, Jesus, I prayed the prayer. That was pretty cool. And that man, I felt you speak to me. I'm going to go to bed. And when I wake up, I'm going to be completely different. And then we're like, oh, but that didn't work like that. But if you think about the other things that you think about in your life, nothing works like that, right? Like you don't look at, man, these musicians up here, they blow me away all the time. In fact, Harry said, he glanced up here and he saw Zach drumming back there. And he's like, hey, when I first glanced up, I thought that was you in the drum cage. I was like, dude, you do not want to hear me in that drum cage. It took years. Zach didn't just wake up one day and be like, we wish that was how it worked, right? But it doesn't. It takes practice. It takes commitment. It takes participating in a drummer's lifestyle, whatever that looks like. And we struggle because we don't want to embrace the lifestyle. And sometimes we struggle and we think about, man, why do I have anxiety? Why do I have fear? Why do I have busyness? Can I be really honest with you? It's because it's the way we live. The scripture says to remain in me and I'll remain in you. And yeah, I think for many of us, we remain in the ways of the world and the ways of the world remain in us. And it's the reason we struggle. Now, again, I know that there are some physical reasons why sometimes we have anxiety and things of that nature. I get that. But there's also some lifestyle things and reasons why that we have that. Your life is quite often a byproduct of your lifestyle. Your systems, the things that you do, the things that you allow to happen, the things that you intentionally do are perfectly designed to get you the results that you're getting right now. And so you're asking yourself, why am I not feeling more peace? When was the last time you rested? Why am I always stressed out? When was the last time you said no to something so that you could have some margin in your schedule? Your systems are perfectly designed to get the results you're getting. And so it's no coincidence that all of a sudden we have in our day and age anxiety on the rise. Again, I know that there's physical reasons for some of that, but not for all of it. One of the reasons why we have anxiety on the rise in our culture, specifically amongst our young people, is because they are connected in social systems right now where they are always seeing people present their best and their greatest and they're missing out and all of this kind of stuff. And anxiety all of a sudden begins to arise within us. If you want to just pick on the younger people, let's pick on some of us older people. Some of the reasons why many of us are angry and struggling with peace right now is because all you do is watch Fox News. who can have that going? I mean, like, I'll just be honest. People yelling at my wife. I like sports talk. I'll point to me. I like sports talk. And they yell at each other all the time. And my wife gets in the car and like, how can you listen? Is all they do is yell at each other. I don't know how I can listen to that. Your life is perfectly designed to get the results that you're getting. But God's Spirit has been placed in you. And He is designed to give you an upgrade from your former operating system. Have you ever let that upgrade just sit on your phone? I know this is going to make my phone run better, but we'll do that later. Or if the phone thing doesn't hit you right, I know that I need new glasses, but I can see better later. I know that I need to go to the dentist. I know that. You know it happens in other areas of your life, but it happens in our spiritual life also. And so if we want to get peace, joy of Jesus, we need to live into the lifestyle of Jesus. And it's not just about learning more. We have an abundance of information, but we are stunted in our transformation. We have more information available to us than we have had in maybe in the history of the church. And yet we are stunted in our transformation. And we have to re-embrace as the church spiritual practices. And that's not just saying, hey, I go to church. That is a spiritual practice, but it's not the only one. We have to begin re-embracing spiritual practices. And in the early church, spiritual practices were where people started. Think about that for a moment. When people said, hey, I want to follow Jesus. And people would say, just like Jesus said, come and see. And we're gonna start praying together, and we're gonna start reading God's word together, and we're gonna start having solitude, and we're gonna start fasting. And you're like, oh man, he just said the fasting word. All of a sudden we begin to realize that one of the reasons why we might not being shaped by Jesus and we can't hear the spirit that's alive in us is because we have forgotten the practices that allow us to hear his voice with clarity. It's where we learn the voice of God, the prompting of the Spirit. And each practice is a means to an end. It is not the end. You don't pray just to pray. You don't fast just to fast. You don't go to church just to go to church as if it's a checklist. You do those things to encounter Jesus. It's to be with Jesus. It's to live with him, and it's to be shaped by him. That's the end. I pray that I might be with him. And you learn how to be two places at once. My wife will tell you, I'm struggle to do two things at once. But you learn to be two places at once when you begin to practice these spiritual practices and you begin to hear the voice of God. You learn how to make lunches for your kids and simultaneously be in the presence of Jesus. You learn how to send emails and be in the presence of Jesus. You learn how to have really difficult meetings at work and be in the presence of Jesus. You learn how to have conversations with your spouse and be in the presence of Jesus. You learn how to be at the grocery store and be in the presence of Jesus. You learn how to be in a restaurant where they got your order wrong and the server's going too slow and everything's going wrong and be in the presence of Jesus. You learn how to be in a hospital room and be in the presence of Jesus. You learn to be shaped by him at every turn of your life. And so three steps I want you to think about, and we're gonna unpack this more at Crash Course tonight. And as a reminder, you can come to Crash Course tonight even if you haven't been to the other ones because they're self-contained. And so you can just jump right in tonight or on Tuesday if that works better for you. Three steps that I want you to think about. Step one, start with 10 minutes of just being with Jesus. Maybe it's three times, maybe it's twice a week, maybe it's every day if you're already have been practicing some of these. And I would encourage you to grab, your cup of coffee, or Dan and I share an office and he's drinking kombucha, right? I'm like, you're so California now. Sit down, take a breath. Do that with me. Breathe in, breathe out. For some of you, that's the first time you've done that in way too long. But if you took 10 minutes and you just begin to breathe in and breathe out and then had this phrase repeat in your mind, Lord, your servant is listening. Here I am, Lord. Your servant is listening. The second step, simplify. Some of the reasons why you can't take that 10 minutes is because from the moment you get up to the moment you go to sleep, your life is jam-packed. And so there are things that you have to start saying no to so that you can say yes to being shaped by Jesus. And the third area, once you simplify, start asking, sir, what are some of the other practices that I could investigate and maybe fit my personality and begin to embrace that might allow me to be shaped by Jesus? Maybe it's journaling. Maybe it's hospitality or serving or any number of things where you begin to encounter the lifestyle of Jesus that you might be able to be shaped by him. And his words to those two disciples are the same to us. Come and see. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, that's our heartbeat. We don't want to just know about you. We just don't want to just think about you or kind of know loosely about who you are or who you've called us to be. God, we want to come and see that we might be shaped by you from the inside out. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.